this week I'd like to talk with you about fasting. Because you often hear about that in the scriptures, these two go together. Prayer and fasting. We hear that all the time. Have you heard a sermon about fasting before in all your years? Well, you'll hear one today. And let's talk about what is the purpose of fasting. Is it something you might want to do and to put into your spiritual arsenal for a very powerful life with God? Let's talk about this wondrous thing, fasting today, and see what God would teach us about it through His Word. First of all, let's just ask this. What is fasting? Well, to define it just briefly here, as I'll do it in this sermon, fasting is to go without food or certain types of food for a certain period of time for a spiritual purpose. Let me say that again. It's to go without food or certain types of food for a certain amount of time for a spiritual purpose. Now, might that be something you want to do? Normally we think, why would I want to fast? All it is pain. But if it's for a spiritual purpose, might it be something you want to do? Well, what kinds of fasts are there in the Bible? You have some fast from food and water, like Moses when he received the Ten Commandments on the mountain. And he went 40 days even without drinking a drop of water. Now, I'm not going to recommend that to you today, because you're not going to live unless it's a supernatural fast like Moses had. But sometimes you can go a little while without water, but watch out for that medically. But there's another fast in the Bible. It's going without food for a certain amount of time for a spiritual purpose. And then there's also not only no food and water or food with water, but there's also food and water, but just fasting from certain types of food for a while. We just read that a moment ago. Did you listen in the Old Testament where Daniel is praying and fasting? And he says in Daniel 10, "In those days I, Daniel, ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks," while he was praying. So 3 weeks, he ate, he drank, but he abstained from certain foods for that time to humble himself before the Lord. So there's different types of fasting, but it's to go without food, we'll say, for a certain amount of time, for a spiritual purpose. Let me ask you, is that something you might want to do? Have you already turned off your little inner microphones and said, "I'm done with this sermon because I ain't skipping food. I love food." Well, what do you want me to do, Pastor? Die? Starve? Why do you want to put me in pain? Yes, I'm preaching to you a little bit about that today. But remember, it's for a spiritual purpose. Would you possibly consider not eating a meal, perhaps, to draw near to the Lord, that you come out of it with superpower? Now, then it sounds pretty much more enticing, because if you can fast and kill a part of yourself that needs to die for just a short time, it's not going to kill you, in order to make yourself super stronger, in other words, God have a super answer for you, then you might consider actually fasting. So, according to the Bible, does God expect us to fast? Does He command us to fast? Well, actually, there's no command or demand from God that you have to fast, but there is certainly an encouragement to do it in God's holy word, and it seems He even expects it of Christians. Because if we look here, let's look at Luke chapter 5. This is quite a sermon, right, for the modern generation, which is feed my thirst and I want everything now. Well, this is interesting. Jesus says, it says, "The disciples of John fast often," said the Pharisees to Jesus, "and they offer prayers, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, that is, but yours eat and drink." Jesus says, "Can you make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." Our days, they will fast. So it certainly seems Jesus expects us to be fasting. If you look over here at Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, Jesus even says this. 6:16, he says, "When you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, For they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head with oil, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Does Jesus say if you fast, or does he say when you fast? Yeah, he says when you fast. So obviously God encourages and even expects us to be doing this. Do you do it? I haven't been, but might I this week be encouraged by my own sermon? Well, if you fast, let's consider, what kind of company might you be keeping? Who would be your compatriots in this endeavor? Well, if you fast, these will be your fellows. Moses, who also fasted. David fasted. Elijah, Daniel, Hannah, Nehemiah, Ezra, Esther, Jehoshaphat, the people of Nineveh. In the New Testament, Anna the prophetess, Cornelius, John the Baptist and his disciples, Paul, Barnabas, Peter, and dun dun dun, Jesus. Amen. You got it. These would all be your company if you fast. Nice crew, huh? I'd like to be part of that company. What effect did their fasting have? Answer, only power in their lives, miracle superpowers manifesting themselves, fireworks from God in their lives. Because consider this, Moses fasted and he received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. That was in the context of a fast. Elijah fasted, the Bible says, and he ran for 40 days all the way to Mount Sinai to escape from Jezebel. Daniel fasted, and we read there a moment ago that at the moment he starts the fast, God ordered one of his chief angels, Gabriel, and he came on account of the prayer. Esther and the Jews, they fasted because, remember, Haman was going to wipe them out and massacre them. And because of their fast, God turned the tides of war against Haman and saved the Jews. Hannah, she couldn't have a baby. For years and years, she fasted, and God gave her the power to conceive a child, a son. Jehoshaphat, the king, fasted when he was surrounded by enemy armies, and they were about to lick him up. And when he fasted, God wiped them out, and all he had to do was just lick up the spoil. He didn't even have to fight. If you look at the men of Nineveh, God was about to smash them, but they fasted from the king down to the smallest of the people, and they averted God's wrath, and it turned into salvation for them. In the New Testament, Anna the prophetess, old woman, praying, fasting, and she got to see the baby Jesus before she died. The people at Antioch were fasting, and the Holy Spirit, in the context of the fast, spoke and appointed Paul and Barnabas to carry the gospel out into the world. Cornelius, he's the first guy that was ever converted to Christianity from the Gentiles. In the context of a fast, while he was praying and fasting, God sent Peter, says, go deliver to this man the gospel that he might be saved. Paul was fasting when he received his sight and his eyes were opened again. And of course, who's the most famous faster of all? Jesus Christ. He's our king. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And he returned from that fast in the wilds in the power of the Spirit. And what was he doing when he came in? Working great signs and wonders and preaching the gospel of the kingdom after the fast. Does that sound like something you might want to do? Would you be willing to get a little bit of pain for the sake of fireworks from God unleashed in your life? Because it's in the context of a fast that all these things came to pass in the scriptures. Great company you'd be keeping as well. So if this is the case, and all the heroes of the faith have done this in the Bible, why don't we? Why is our modern generation in the modern church hardly ever fast? Well, you know what? I don't fast either. I'd like to, and I think I'll start this week. But here's a couple reasons I don't think we fast. Number one, you never hear anybody talk about it. Ever heard a sermon on this before? One other time, maybe? Maybe never? No one's ever taught you. Secondly, is no one around you is fasting. So you have no living examples to follow and be inspired by. Thirdly, yeah, it involves some measure of discomfort and pain, because the Bible says you afflict yourself with fasting. Who runs to pain? Nobody. We run away from pain. And fourthly, we don't understand what fasting's about and the power of fasting. You know, when I was younger, I used to fast a little more. I fasted a day, 3 days, even a number of times, 5 days in the wilderness when I was in my 20s. And all right, I thought about blueberry pancakes and Pop-Tarts a lot. I know, I remember that. One night I remember I was in the woods in Connecticut, in this place I found. There was a rock in the woods, and I picked it some days before because there was a tree that had fallen in the shape of a cross, so I thought that was cool. It's way out there. Didn't see anybody for 5 days. I heard one person walk by one time, but in the middle of the night in a rainstorm, in the dark, a deer was coming through my little camp. And he was like, whoa, and I was like, whoa, and he darted off into the woods. But when I came out of the woods, you know, I didn't have a firework, but I had very powerful help from God in my life, I remember. And so maybe I should get back to that. What's the purpose of fasting? You're not going to fast unless you really see some benefit to yourself, right? So what is the goal? What's the aim of fasting? I don't understand everything about fasting, but I do can tell you some things from the Bible. Let's take a look here at Psalm 69. See if you can tell me what it is. David says, I humbled my soul with fasting. I made sackcloth my covering. As for me, my prayer is to thee, O Lord, at the acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of thy steadfast love, answer me. So what do we do? Why do we fast according to that? I humbled myself with fasting. So what do? One thing? Humble yourself. It's a way to kill inside of you what needs to be killed, namely pride, in order to bring you low, that what's good in you, Christ and his work, might come out stronger. If you want your prayers to be heard on high by God, even more powerful than they are now, how about fasting? Because it takes the humble approach. Remember, two men went up in the temple to pray. One guy was super proud. I'm holier than this other guy over here. He says, the Pharisee says, I fast twice a week. God, you must really love a guy like me. And the other guy, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He was very humble. And God says the humble man was answered. The proud man who fasted twice a week got nothing because he was proud. So fasting is a way to humble yourself before God. And if you humble yourself before God, he who humbles himself will be exalted, says Jesus. So it's a great, that's number one. Number two, fasting is a great way to draw near to God because it frees you up in your time from all the distractions of preparing food and eating it. Do you know how much time you spend eating a day? If you fast, you're going to see it. You think about food all day long. You get up and the first thing you think, what am I going to eat? Then you start preparing the food. Then you cook the food. Then you eat the food. Then you clean up from the food. And as soon as you're done doing that, you think about, what am I going to have for lunch? And then you prepare that. It goes on. You think about food, and I think about food all day long. It's about preparing, thinking about it, eating it, cleaning up from it, going on to the next one. Do you know how much time in your life would be freed up if you just skipped even one meal and spent that time instead to draw near to God? Do you think he might in heaven say, I take notice. There's someone doing something I haven't seen in Merritt Island for years. Look at that. This guy's just fasting for me. Ah, let's listen to what he has to say. Thirdly, fasting is a way to conquer the god of the belly. You ever hear about the god of the belly? Well, you know what? There is something that can get in our way in a relationship with God. Now, food is a gift to you from God. Receive it with thanksgiving. But there may be a time to fast because food has gotten in the way of God's relationship with his people a lot of times. Can you name one? How about at the very beginning of the Bible? Right. You know, the serpent came. What's the first temptation he gave to Eve? And he comes and he says, did God really say you shall not eat?
Did God really say you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?
What's his first temptation? The stomach, your food, go after it. Go after the god of the belly, right? And so the woman, of course, when she sees that the tree was good for food, she ate. And so her husband, the first sin was over food. Because they put God, they put food in the place of God, food became an idol to them. It got in the place of their relationship with God, and therefore everything bad happens. Here's another time in the Bible when there was a problem with food. You got Esau. He had the birthright from Jacob, the father. And yet he's out hunting in the wilderness one day. He comes in famished. His brother Jacob, who was hanging around the kitchen all the time, has a bowl of porridge. And Esau sells his birthright to Jacob in order for one single little meal. And then he later on had no chance to get his birthright back. In other words, his super blessings from God he gave up for food. And he fell on account of it, just like Eve. And one more. Let's look at Numbers chapter 11. Do I have that in here? Here it is. Verse 4 to 6. This is Israel in the wilderness. Moses is out there trying to lead the people. God's given them manna, but some of the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, god of the belly. And the people of Israel wept again, and they said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt for nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. Oh, they must have been Italian. The garlic, and we miss it, the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there's nothing at all but this manna to look at." And they tempted God in the wilderness because of the god of the belly, food. So food is a great gift to you. Enjoy it with thanksgiving. But might there be a time to set it aside, because the god of the belly has gotten in the way of many people. Paul says in Philippians 3, "Their end is destruction, their god is the belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things." So when you fast, it's a way to say to God, "God, you know what? I love food and I'm thankful for that, but that's not number one with me. You're number one with me, not food." And when God sees you say something like that, will not your prayers be all that more super magnified before him? And he goes, "Wow, that's something I've not seen for a long time. Let's answer this man's prayers." So number four, by the way, fasting is a way that just plain seems to carry power with it. And I don't know all the explanations why, but like we looked at in the Bible, you get 10 commandments, you got angels flying down, you got people averting judgment, you got enemy and armies being turned into tides of war that is God in your favor. All these kinds of things happen in the place of a fast. I don't understand it. But if it's got all that kind of witness and power to it, might you not consider putting it in your little silver bullet in one of your gun belt and pull it out occasionally to draw near to the Lord by? So if you consider doing it this week, let's think that not all fasts, though, are equal. Not every fast that you do is going to be acceptable to God. What would be a wrong one? Well, number one, if you fast for pride. Remember that Pharisee that went up into the temple with the tax collector we just talked about? What happened? That Pharisee's like, God's going to hear my prayer because I'm a very holy man. See, I fast twice a week. Of course God must love me. Jesus says, useless, sham, counterfeit, and even evil. I'm not going to listen to that prayer because it was about pride. So if you fast, do it in secret. Don't do it to get praise from men, but to draw near to God. God will see that prayer. And then secondly, if you do your fasting, to God, while at the same time you're still going after some horrible sin in your life, God's not going to hear a fast in that case. You go after this in Isaiah chapter 58. The Jews, the Israel in those days said, "Why have we fasted, God, and you don't see it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you don't take any knowledge of it?" God says, "Because behold, in the day of your fast, you're seeking your own pleasure and you oppress your workers. You fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. You know, in that verse, I see that God is teaching you that fasting will make your voice heard on high if you do it right. But if you do it wrong, if you're still doing wickedness, it won't be heard. So God says, isn't this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Isn't it to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see a naked person, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. And look at the answer if you fast in a good way. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing will spring up speedily. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord your God will be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer you, and you shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." Oh, that's what I want in my life. Amen. I want him to say, "Here I am," and healing to spring up speedily, and he to be my rear guard. Fast in the right way. So how mighty is a fast? Let's just consider that again for a second. It's a great way to repent and avert God's wrath, if, as you see with Ahab. Remember wicked Ahab in the Bible? He sees Elijah coming one time and he says, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" says Ahab. And Elijah answers, "I have found you, because you've sold yourself to do what's evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon you, says the Lord, and I'll utterly sweep you away, Ahab, and will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel." But we read, when Ahab heard these words, he rent his clothes, whoosh, put on sackcloth, and he fasted. And he lay in sackcloth and went about dejectedly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he's humbled himself before me, I'll not bring evil in his days, but in his son's days I'll bring the evil upon his house." Look at that, this guy who's horrible, man. The worst you'll ever meet, Ahab. And yet God saw his fast, and he averted judgment. His thunder and lightning and rain and heavy hail turned into blue skies and a rainbow, for at least for his lifetime, because of a fast. Fasting also, as we said there in Daniel, you got an angel running down to help you. He says, Daniel says, "I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and fasting with sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord God, and while I was speaking and praying, etc., the man Gabriel, who I'd seen in a vision at first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice." Oh, would you like to see that? He said to me, "Oh, Daniel, I've now come to give you wisdom and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, a word went forth, and I've come to tell it to you, for you're greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision." So notice, when did God dispatch the angel to Daniel? At the beginning. As soon as he humbled himself, and as soon as he began praying, whammo, he's on his way. Of course, it took a little while for him to get there for various reasons. I don't know why, but you know, in certain cases we see the angels battle. But as soon as he started, he's on his way. You think as soon as you pray and fast, they're on their way. I want them on their way to help me. He sends his angels with power, and he gives you the power then to go forward. For when the church at Antioch were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke, saying, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them, and off they go to save the world. I want that to be for our church. Get out there, and after fasting and prayer, boom, you're sent out with power. Fasting delivers from enemies. King Jehoshaphat, imagine you had Merritt Island and Cocoa and Titusville with thousands and tens of thousands of armies of people coming against Cape Canaveral, and they're just about to cross the bridge. This is the case with Jehoshaphat. He sees the army coming against him, and he calls and proclaims a fast throughout all of Judah. God goes in there then. The guy doesn't even have to lift his finger in the whole battle. By the time he goes out, God has taken care of every enemy, and all they got to do is pick up the prize that's left over because of a fast. And it can set free friends, family, yourself, other people that you're praying for. For remember when Jesus, the disciples came to him, they said, why could we not cast out the demon from that man? And Jesus said to them, this kind of demon cannot be driven out by anything but prayer, and some manuscripts say, and fasting. So there are very powerful demons. Some, you can just speak them out. But some, the super hard ones, got to come out by prayer and fasting. Power? Yeah, we're talking lots of power here. So last example then is this. Jesus. He went into the wilderness. He ate nothing in those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. What's he tempting him with? Same thing with Esau. Same thing with Eve. Same thing. The God of the belly. Jesus. Go after the God of the belly. And what does Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's my bread, to do his will. And the devil had to run away from him. And at the end of that, he comes out working signs and wonders with great power. And do you know that it was in the context of a fast that Jesus saved us and went to the cross? Because at the very end, the Last Supper, he says, I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That was the last he'd eaten or drunk. And in the context of a fast, no eating or drinking, he goes and is betrayed, and then to Pilate and Caiaphas and Annas, to the cross, and he dies, saving our souls unto eternal life by grace, because he loves you, in the context of a fast. So, fasting is associated with the most awesome displays of God's power in the lives of men on earth through history. So, food is a gift. Enjoy it with thanksgiving. But might you consider that fasting is a greater gift? Would you do it this week? Consider maybe a meal, just a meal, or maybe a whole day if you can. Medical reasons, considering maybe even longer, who knows? But will your light break forth like the dawn when God answers you speedily? Let's consider it. And even do it until that day when it is fulfilled in Scripture. The saints shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will guard and he will guide them to springs of living water. Amen.